welcome to the Breaking Down Current Affairs of the World podcast. This is your host, Arvind Ghosh, speaking. And, you know, we've gotten this number of views and feedback by many of our listeners. And many of them have actually said that one issue of the podcast has been, you know, the length of the episodes. Like, you know, it's 50 minutes, 55. It's been pretty long. So what we've decided is that we'll take out a very important issue to be discussed and try making an episode about 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, perhaps max. And then what we'll do is about once a week or twice a week, we'll release one episode which like contains like 40 minutes, 45 minutes, where you can hear like whatever other events took place and what our views are on those as well. So in this episode, we have decided to cover the Gaza ceasefire, which has been finally imposed by both Hamas and Israel, both agreed upon by both Hamas and Israel. And we hope that you like the entire episode. Do give us your feedback as well. So coming to the Gaza ceasefire, which has recently been agreed upon between Israel and Palestine, one of the very important parts right now has been that both these sides de-escalate, that no one violates the ceasefire. Even the UNSC also has expressed support, has said that both parties should in fact continue to abide by it, not violate it at all. And you know, things have actually come to a halt. There's fighting has come to a halt as well, and humanitarian aid is being sent. The US continues to see that it will support Israel when it comes to its defense, but at the same time now it is providing humanitarian aid to the Gaza Strip. Now coming to the US, basically if you look at the entire 11-day conflict which took place between Israel and Palestine and Hamas, frankly, if you look at the entire conflict, how the US responded to it, frankly I would say the US clearly delayed its response when it came to responding in a form of de-escalation, because you know, for a number of days the US continued to reiterate its support for Israel's quote-unquote right to self-defense. And you know, when we brought up a guest, Vedant Mishra, back in the previous episode, he brought this important point that the concept of proportionality, the concept of distinction, the way these very principles, frankly, are not being followed under self-defense. In the name of self-defense, Israel has ended up killing children, killing innocent people, and yes, it has been able to kill a number of top Hamas commanders, and that has served Israel's strategic interests, security interests. But at the same time, it has caused great humanitarian devastation to the Gaza Strip, which has been frankly devastating to watch. At the same time, the US was already, initially you find the US continues speaking about the fact that Israel has a right to self-defense, etc., etc. But as soon as the Biden administration finally tells Israel that there is a need to de-escalate right now, we immediately find that Israel is ready to accept a ceasefire. And thankfully, because of the Egyptian negotiations, there's been able to speed up, frankly, because of the US finally calling for de-escalation, because you know, Egypt has its own security interests. If this Israel-Hamas fighting were to spill over to the Egyptian border, Egypt would have a great security interest because of its own people. So that's why this is one of the major reasons to why Egypt was very much actively involved in these negotiations. Now, again, the US Senate, there is basically a lot of problems regarding this new $735 million arms deal which the US is signing to Israel, which is primarily a very big problem right now, because we've already found as to how Israel has been bombing the people of the Gaza Strip. It says that it's bombing Hamas militants, but then it ends up bombing buildings which belong to the Associated Press and the Al Jazeera. What is funny actually is, funny, ironic, you can name any of them, is the fact that while Israel, you know, US always has supported Israel's stance regarding its Palestinian conflict, its involvement, but even when it bombed that building which housed the Associated Press and the Al Jazeera, even the US Secretary of State himself stated that there was no credible evidence as to whether or not this building housed Hamas militants or Hamas intelligence operations. And this clearly, you know, even the Associated Press CEO, he himself in an interview said that the fact that Israel is bombing media houses, media buildings, clearly shows that Israel is trying to attack the press. It's preventing the on-the-ground reporting from taking place and providing the necessary facts. Now, at the same time, the US obviously did not like completely condemn Israel's bombing of the building, despite the US continuously commenting on press freedom and hailing press freedom as extremely important, etc., etc. At the same time, even the US till now has not condemned Israeli strikes on Gaza. It simply called for a de-escalation, although it actually helped at the end. It even speaks about how US policy works in a whole. Because when the Biden administration came, initial notice, even the past initial podcast episodes, I clearly stated that, you know, the fact is that the Biden administration approach of multilateralism is actually good. Because right now, multilateralism is supposed to be the center of foreign policy for a country, the US, which was engaged in these isolationist policies which were brought up by the Trump administration, and now the US bringing up this multilateralism, it's a good thing. But that's the point. In the Israel-Palestine conflict, when this conflict took place between Israel and Hamas, there was clearly no multilateralism on the US administration's part, because the UN Security Council, all 40 members were ready to pass a statement. It would in fact condemn Israeli airstrikes, or at least ask it to de-escalate. And the US did not allow it to pass because of its own quote-unquote diplomatic efforts. Now, the US's own diplomatic efforts, so far I can't really say that there has been quote-unquote diplomatic efforts for Israel to stop bombing the Gaza Strip, or to perhaps speeding up negotiations regarding to solution, because this arms deal, which is now in waiting and which is being reviewed, is clearly going to be another provocative step taken by the US. Because again, the thing is that the US, all the more it provides weapons to Israel, the more of these weapons will be used in the Israel-Palestine conflict, and the Palestinians will be killed at the behest of US weapons, right? Even Turkish President Erdogan, as much as he may give lots of undiplomatic statements, I mean, he stated that the US would be having blood on its own hands, which is clearly would be a point to note from the way in which this entire arms deal will continue. Even Senator Bernie Sanders himself had brought up a resolution regarding the fact that this arms deal be halted. And frankly, it should be, because right now, if the US weapons were to go to Israel, it's pretty obvious Israel would use it not only for the quote unquote self-defense, they would justify the self-defense by again attacking the Gaza Strip in case, or Palestine in case of any particular provocation of sorts. Now, regarding the Israel government's argument that Hamas in fact uses human shields, etc. Yes, Hamas does use human shields, but then to the extent where it kills more than 200 Palestinians, that proof on the ground does not lie even now. There is no credible evidence during this 11-day conflict to say that Hamas has used human shields which have caused casualties. Now, even the Israeli government understands, they're pretty well equipped to understand this, as well as everyone around the globe, the fact that the Gaza Strip is very highly populated. So any airstrike is said to have human casualties. Now, keeping this in mind, should a country continuous airstrikes continue to, then it would obviously amount to purposely targeting civilians, which would go against international humanitarian law, even against laws such as Geneva Conventions. And therefore, this is a one very big problem, because Israel has Israel even now countries have not quote unquote called out Israel for its continuous airstrikes against civilians, possibly civilian population, in the name of Hamas militants. You're talking about basically bombing the entire population, and this has been one major factor to consider. And therefore, what the Israeli government should have instead done is one attack in the name of self-defense, or under the direct self-defense, which actually targeted Hamas militants or commanders with having the minimum civilian casualties, would have been the best way to respond to this and end it with a ceasefire agreement. But this did not happen. It went on to an 11-day conflict, resulting in much more problems with the health infrastructure of the Gaza Strip, and even more and more problems with the people of the Gaza as well. Now, another factor to consider here is how Hamas has now risen from this position of just being another, quote unquote, having a political wing and a military wing, or being a terrorist group, to being another major player now in this Israel-Palestine conflict, because you know you have the PLO, which is regarded as the internationally recognized representative of the Palestinian people, former Mahmoud Abbas and Mahmoud recently led by Mahmoud Abbas, and you know they have been responsible for these negotiations regarding a two-state solution, but you now have the Hamas, which is now gaining this great amount of support from people in Palestine, and this shows that Hamas is not trying to gain much more political goals via these attacks against Israel. The same holds good for Israel as well in the case of their own political problems regarding the fact that Netanyahu, Prime Minister Netanyahu, has a number of allegation of corruption against him, and this had actually prevented him from getting an absolute majority in Israel. And that, in fact, is Israeli politics are extremely they are very constrained in the sense that you know no government is able to be formed by a single party. There always has been a coalition governments formed, and this was a big problem regarding number of years these coalition governments have been formed, and there have been and recently there have been these political divisions which have been a great issue in Israeli politics, and therefore, Netanyahu, when he was finally re-elected again, he was still facing a lot of political pressure from Israel. But this Israel-Palestine conflict was therefore a way of deflecting the attention of the Israeli people. And if you see right now, the polarization has actually gone to an extent where you find this intolerance among the Israeli population against Arabs and against Palestinians as a whole, and they have started bringing these slurs of death to Arabs, death to Arabs as well, and they you know they've started attacking these people. Even there have been a number of clashes between far-right Israelis and Palestinians and Arab Israelis as well, and this just shows the extent to which polarization has gone in Israel, where it has resulted in this. And then again you have the Hamas gaining much more support, whereas again countries throughout the world have obviously stated that there is no military solution to the Israel-Palestine conflict, rather the two-state solution, and therefore it is important to also bring in a two-state solution and a purview here. That is, now to base a solution on the 1967 borders is the only viable solution at the moment, because there is no other probable way this conflict will end. Because obviously, it seems to it would create a great amount of international ramifications for Israel if Israel were to just go and attack the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. That's a completely not viable idea for Israel itself. But then, what is important for the implementation of a two-state solution is that outfits like Hamas, they gave up their own weapons and they instead provide a united front along with the PLO and to diplomatically negotiate this solution through, and to ensure that Palestinians have this right to self-determination, which is guaranteed to them under Article 1 of the Montreal Convention. Now, at the same time, countries of the US have to work with Israel regarding the solution, because let me tell you one thing. The fact is that this particular ceasefire, if you look at how it began, it was because of the attacks on the Al-Aqsa Mosque. At the same time, there were reactions regarding the Sheikh Jarrah evictions, right? And this was also a culmination of whatever Israel has been doing since 1967, its policy of occupation and its policy of apartheid against the Palestinians as well. So, and this has created this seething anger among the Palestinians, which finally resulted in outfits like Hamas using the situation to gain their political points and, in fact, then attack Israel also violently. Now, the fact is that right now this ceasefire is almost like a ticking time bomb. I mean, although Egypt has been very actively negotiating with Israel and Hamas regarding maintenance of the ceasefire, this maintenance depends on one very key factor. The key factor being the implementation of the two-state solution, or at least negotiations for the same, because right now just negotiations for a ceasefire won't just be important. It is important right now for the UNSC to understand, or and even international community as a whole, that a two-state solution has to be worked upon at this particular moment. Otherwise, we will find more clashes between Israel and Hamas, more sites in Israel being killed, more people and children on the Palestinian side being killed, which would cause devastation on both the sides, and it would not be able to be settled properly. Therefore, diplomatically, Israel has to recognize that there should be a Palestinian state and there should be an Israeli state, which should be able to be together, engage in good relations, and not engage in frivolous and intentional of a sort. And in here, the US also plays an important role. The Biden administration, as soon as it is called for de-escalation, you find Israel immediately agreeing to a ceasefire agreement. And you know, it's the fact is that the U.S. administration has to play this important role, where it obviously recognizes Israel as an important strategic ally. Not wrong about that part, but to also call out Israel when it violates human rights, because obviously the Biden administration says that human rights is part of its foreign policy. You have the accountability coming to a part of its foreign policy. You have it calling out countries like Syria, which are violating international law, when it bombs civilians. Then it obviously when it stops calling out countries like Israel, which do the same, then obviously countries like Russia and China will come over and provide their statements, and the US does not call out, is engaging selective diplomacy. Selective diplomacy where it only calls out one country which is against its interests, and another country, and a country which is with its interests if it follows its interests, if it is an important ally. No matter what it does, the US won't call them out. And this is an important policy which the US administration, which cannot, it cannot be implemented, because that would significantly damage its own credibility in the international community. Rather, if you right now see the involvement of China in its diplomatic negotiations, you find China having taken this rising role in Israel-Palestine conflict as a whole. Like, you know, China has this policy of non-intervention, always has, where it does not very actively negotiate, although right now economically it is engaging a lot in the Middle East, from the BRI as a whole, the Belt and Road Initiative, and these investment projects with countries like Iran, even Lebanon. There were plans with Lebanon as well, and Syria to a great extent. So therefore, China now taking this huge role. Back in 2014, when the Gaza violence broke out back then, China brought this 5-point action, 5-point peace plan, according to which there was humanitarian aid which is required, and a two-state solution. And even right now, China had brought on this plan for ensuring that there is this ceasefire, and there is humanitarian aid given to the Palestinians as well. And you know, therefore, it shows how China is rising as a negotiator, because China itself also said that it would be ready to mediate talks, it would be ready to hold these negotiations between the two sides. And it did back in the past, and back when they called both Israel and the PLO, I believe, to Beijing. And again, this shows that right now, in a condition where the US is not being able to diplomatically handle certain issues like the US, like the Israel-Palestine conflict, where it has its own quote-unquote security interests at conflict with its quote-unquote human rights-based approach to foreign policy. There is where countries like Russia and China are trying to take up the game, and they're trying to ensure that they can be the main players in that way, and it shows their own increasing role in the Middle East as a whole. And frankly, you know, any kind of party which is ready to implement a two-state solution, it has to be right now, as I was talking about earlier, a ticking time bomb. Right now, if you look at why it began, you know, the evictions, the policy of apartheid, etc. If Israel continues this further, and if there are other problems regarding the Al-Aqsa Mosque has been a holy place for these communities, and for these faiths as well, it would create tensions to a great extent. If it would result in probably Hamas or Israel violating a ceasefire agreement, and again violence going on, and again a ceasefire, and again it will be violated, again a ceasefire. It is a cycle which will continue over and over again unless the two-state solution is implemented. Therefore, it is important for countries like the US, which have leverage over Israel, to actually to ensure that they can actively play this role in the implementation of two-state solution. Now, when Israel signed these Abraham Accords with Middle Eastern countries, you even right now find the UAE, it is slowly engaging in investment deals with Israel. So the UAE itself also has now stopped the Palestinian, stopped the support for the Palestinian cause in that way, because it's not calling out Israel that way, right? It's clearly continuing its relation with Israel as it goes. It's economic interest first, and you know, the less Arab countries support the Palestinian cause, the more importance Israel feels in the Middle East, which makes Israel continue these acts of aggression against the Palestinian population, which will in fact result in a number of ramifications, and it is another policy of apartheid which is not being called out by these by countries like the US, but only once when it actually was called out, when it was in 2016, when the US abstained from the UNSC resolution 2334, under which the Obama administration ensured that this resolution, basically this resolution contained number of clauses which do in fact count as legally binding, and it called upon Israel to scale back settlements, even called them illegal as per the 4th Geneva Convention, in particular Article 49, and therefore right now this involvement of the US is required if it needs to prevent itself from being overcrowded by the by countries like China and Russia. Countries like Egypt, which have their own security interests, will continue negotiating with this continue negotiation regarding ceasefire. But right now, instead of the ceasefire, another important factor is the two-state solution, and it has to be implemented as soon as possible, because if it isn't, it will result in seething anger among the Palestinians, among outfits like Hamas, which will result in more violence. And if you look at right now, international support for Palestine has been growing. You have these rallies being brought out in London and others, other countries in New York City as well. But then what's happening is, again, the clear amount of propaganda on one side, the clear amount of polarization on another side is clearly causing a great amount of issues, because when people are coming out, I've been watching this on the ground reporting, when people are coming out in support, they are not talking in a civil manner. You're talking about, they are shouting each other, abusing each other, which is a big problem regarding how political debate or geopolitical debate is kind of today. And what is important right now is that when people debate about such an issue where Israel-Palestine is involved, when there's so many different factors involved in a conflict, they should ensure that there is this etiquette followed when they talk, so that there should be this openness from both the sides when speaking about this issue. And I have been seeing number of media agencies, number of advertisements being brought out against stars who are basically supporting the Palestinian cause, saying that just because they're against Zionists, it means they're against the Jews, which is not the point here. Being supporting the Palestinian cause is not being anti-Jewish. It's not at all like that. Frankly, I would almost call it like supporting the Jews, because frankly, back then in the Holocaust, when the Jews were being persecuted by the Germans, or the Nazis, there was this policy of persecution over and over again, right? And now you find Israel carrying out its apartheid policy against the Palestinians. So, obviously you can't compare the situation. It's like, it's very, very different, different times, different numbers, different facts, etc. But, look at the persecution, right? And it is obviously it is to stand for human rights, to stand for the right to self-determination under international law, the need for the people to have their voice being heard in the international community. And therefore it is important that all these countries come together at the table. Right now the UN Security Council brings up these important stakeholders, and like Egypt, even the US should not choke the UNSC, should not prevent the UNSC from taking action, but should instead allow it to take action, or instead the US should play a leading role in this. Because then it will serve its own interest, because after all, you are then overshadowing the efforts by Russia and China. And therefore, the Biden administration should do what it promised to the entire world, multilateralism. The Biden administration was able to continue multilateralism when it came to addressing the sanctions, when it came to the Uyghur Muslim population persecution, even when it came to things like, even when it came to organizations like NATO. And therefore, the Biden administration should do the very same multilateralism policy when it comes to the Israel-Palestine conflict, engage all stakeholders very actively, implement the two-state solution, and also call out Israel when it is violating international law to ensure its credibility is maintained. Thank you very much for listening to the episode. Guys, thank you a lot for listening to the entire podcast episode. This is again one of our quote-unquote podcast shorts, where we bring up these 20-minute episodes. You can listen to it like in way less time and just understand the situation right now. We hope like the analysis completely. We've also set up this new email ID in which you can contact us in case you find it difficult to contact via any other means. So this email you can use to give us feedback, views, etc. Even the blog also, if you need to communicate your feedback, please do it via the email. We'll try our best to reply as well. And frankly, what is important right now is, you know, the fact is that when sites create a narrative, then it will result in most of the on the ground facts not being basically presented. So we try our best to provide, you know, a balanced overview of everything, because, you know, as we've come to the Israel Palestine conflict, one of the important accusations have made against any media outlet or anyone who covers this is that you are not calling out these persons or these organizations or this and that. And, you know, what we've done here is we've stated that, you know, we've basically brought up all the facts, and accordingly we've condemned or we supported whichever action have been taken. See, the thing is, you know, the fact is that peace is required. Peace is the main part here. The people's rights are the most important part of the entire issue, because otherwise, if there's no people-based approach to policy, you know, there's going to be havoc and devastation as always. And that's why right now it's important that, you know, whenever a narrative is heard, be it from the side of Israel or be it from Hamas or even Palestine for herself, one should always check the facts, one should always understand what the situation is and accordingly set the views. And we've done exactly the same. We've tried our best to do the same at least. And we hope like the episode. Do share the podcast to friends and family. We thank you guys a lot. We've been monitoring the podcast charts, like the Apple podcast at least show us ranking in it. Earlier, a couple of months ago, it did in fact show us ranking in Australia, and a couple of days ago in Portugal. And thank you a lot, guys. And really, seriously, thank you so much for all the support. Would really appreciate some feedback regarding the podcast, how we do our stuff, how the interviews are done, how if you could improve on certain aspects. And do share it with your friends and family. Like it, follow it, and see you next time.